Well, I want to continue on here from last week. If you weren't here, I began to speak on the Holy Spirit as we are approaching Pentecost, or the celebration of Pentecost. It's actually June 9th this year. But these days after the resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came, it wasn't just for that moment in time. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. I want to continue with some of what the Holy Spirit does, why he's here, and that we really have him. I encouraged you last week to look at each other and say, he is in you. And I hope that you were able to do some of that this week. When you saw a mirror, hopefully you were reminded of, again, not just the miles you put on, but that the God that created everything lives inside of us. He lives inside of you. He's with us wherever we go. We are carriers of him at all times. We're never alone, which is a wonderful thing. John the Baptist prophesied about the Holy Spirit coming, about Jesus baptizing the Holy Spirit. Then when Jesus came, he talked about who the Holy Spirit was, what he would do, and he revealed the great secret that there was a great surprise coming, and it was the Holy Spirit living inside of us, which I don't believe the devil understood what was about to happen with what Jesus did in baptizing us with the Holy Spirit, which was the last thing he did after he reached heaven. The full circle, he sends the Holy Spirit to the earth, not just for Pentecost, not just for one experience, not just for 12 guys, not just for 120 who had gathered, but for everyone who would be drawn to him, would be drawn to Jesus, that he would fill us forever. We'll talk some more about that. That he would be with us also forever. Forever. I think we're going to have the Holy Spirit when we get in heaven. We still have the Holy Spirit in us. It is a forever thing, this Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? We get him forever. I was thinking also about how, you know, the devil, he's so cruel, full of hate. He tries to fill people with his own demons. And sometimes he's successful. We see in the scriptures where there was a person, the demoniac, filled with about 2,000 demons. So the enemy can jam-pack to the person who allows it. 2,000 demons, up to 2,000 demons inside of a person to torment them, to cause them to go crazy, all those things. And here's what God does. First, he delivers people like that, right? Sets them free, kicks those demons out. But you have God who can fill every follower of his with his own spirit. The devil with a bunch of demons, God takes, says, I'll give you my own spirit in every single person. There are going to be millions, there are millions of people on the planet filled with God, filled with God's presence, filled with the same spirit that is in heaven living in us. We can have him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is another passage in Romans 8, resides inside of us. Boy, God is wonderful in every way, in all that he does. And his spirit is so powerful. And the enemy tries to discredit, to dishonor, and to cause people to doubt that the Holy Spirit is still here, and that he still lives inside of you, and that he is doing wonderful things, and that he has power. But it's a lie. The enemy tries his very best. He tells these horrible stories. Tries to make people feel afraid and scared of even talking about the Holy Spirit, when we should be talking about him a lot. He's not scary. He's wonderful. It was what Jesus was building up to do for us, to send him, because he's so wonderful. And then he talks about all the things that he is about. So let's talk some about what the Holy Spirit does, and what we have, what you have in the Holy Spirit, what we have today. You know, Pentecost, that day when the Holy Spirit arrived and Jesus told his disciples, go there and wait for a few days. They waited for 9 or 10 days till the Holy Spirit came. And when he came as a mighty rushing wind, came as a loud sound. They saw fire on their heads that time. They began to speak with other languages, other tongues. And things started to change inside of those who receive the Holy Spirit. That still happens today, by the way. There's change on the inside of a person who receives the Holy Spirit. You see, for Peter, as an example, who was there, one of the 120, who had 50 days before denied that he knew Jesus. Remember that? He was a strong guy. He's the one who took the sword and whacked the ear off of a soldier. He was a strong guy. He was bold. But then when it came to a moment when we saw Jesus being about to be crucified or in that process, he denies that he knows Jesus three times. One of them in front of a servant girl. He was afraid. After the resurrection, the guys were afraid. They were hiding. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know who was coming, who was going to get crucified next, thinking it was going to be them. There was some fear involved. But after the Holy Spirit came, you see Peter as a different person. When you read the Gospels, you read the Gospels and just watch Peter. And then you see what happens after Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. Peter is a changed person. As the Holy Spirit comes, they start speaking other languages. The sound drew people from the city. There were thousands that were around this upper room. Peter stands up and speaks on behalf of the 120. And he speaks eloquently with boldness and confidence, drawing upon the prophecies from the Old Testament. This is unrehearsed, spontaneous. Drawing upon prophecies from Joel, and he shares what's going on. So much so that people's hearts, it says they're pierced. The hearts of people who hear him are pierced. And they said, what do we need to do? And he says, well, here's what you can do right now. Repent. Turn from your ways. Receive Jesus Christ. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same gift that we've just received, you can have. He shares this with boldness. 3,000 people meet Jesus that day, turn to him, are filled with the Spirit. Many of them, I'm sure. And really, the church is started. The church, the body of Christ, the ones that Jesus chose to live within. That it's like that becomes a beginning of an empowered people that Jesus left here, gave us, so that we would become this body of his, filled with his Spirit, to do his will to the end of time till he returns. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something brand new. It's this great surprise that is suddenly revealed. And it's not just for those. It's for us. As Peter prophesied that in that moment as well, he said, this isn't just for us. He says, this is for you. It's for your children. And it's for all who are drawn to Jesus into the future. It's for all of us. That beautiful promise. All who are far off is his exact words. And then within days, you see the same Peter, and then he takes along John, the teenager, late teenager probably. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he was a young guy. Peter and John go down to speak or worship at the temple, and they see a man lame from his mother's womb sitting outside. The guy's begging, he wants some money. And what does Peter say with this new spirit that he has on the inside of him? He's a different person. He looks at him, he says, look at us. Look at us. Then he says, silver and gold, I don't have. Here's what I do have. In Jesus' name, rise up and walk. He gives him healing. It's what he did have. Healing. This Holy Spirit lives inside of him. So he had healing to give away. Then it says he grasped him by the hand and pulled him up. And as soon as he started to pull him up, strength came to the ankles and the feet of this lame man. And he begins to walk. He begins to leap. He begins to jump. He's never walked before. And now he can. A miracle happens. Something miraculous takes place through Peter and John. Guys who were hiding days ago, now with the Holy Spirit, they are emboldened. They have courage. They have this confidence to speak out, to say things, and to give away what they've been freely given, which is what Jesus said in Matthew 10. freely whatever you receive, you can give away. And they started to do that. In Acts 4:13, it says that they have so much confidence that people recognize these guys are unlearned, but they must have been with Jesus to have this kind of confidence. The Holy Spirit gives you and I confidence, not based on everything that we know, but based on who He is in us and what He knows. That's a different kind of confidence. We need confidence like that. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. And then I'm going to talk about a couple of guys here that are some of my heroes as well. I love these guys, Stephen and Philip. You guys know about Stephen and Philip. It says that of Stephen, they were looking for some help. The Holy Spirit is moving. People are meeting the Lord. They're forming this growing church, this body. There's food that's being distributed to the widows, and the apostles are saying, I just don't have enough time to do all this, so we need to devote ourselves to prayer, to the scriptures, and let's find some guys who can help lead the feeding program for the widows. So they choose Stephen. They said one of his qualifications, he was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen got a hold of something. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and they said, he's one of the guys we're going to put in charge of feeding the widows. So they do. Stephen's feeding the widows, but that's not all he's doing. I think, and this is speculation on my part, but I think Stephen was one of these guys who was probably there of the 120. I think he was there that day when Pentecost happened. I also think he was one of those guys who had been probably following Jesus around before he was crucified, probably heard the words of Jesus, maybe heard Jesus say, truly, truly, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father and the Holy Spirit's going to come. I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those guys that heard that, because Stephen does things way above his pay grade. Stephen grabs a hold of something beyond the permission given to him by men, and beyond the role that he was given just to feed the widows, which is a great job. But next thing you do, we see that he is performing, Acts 6:8, he is performing great wonders and signs among the people. Is he an apostle? No. Is he a prophet? No. Is he a pastor, teacher, evangelist? We don't think so. He's a guy who is serving people with a food program. He's you and I. He's a person who loves Jesus, who has been baptized and filled with this Holy Spirit, and he's got some faith working and some compassion and some love, and he starts going out doing the things that Jesus said he could do, that the Holy Spirit on the inside was urging and inviting him to step into. I love this guy. And it says then that as he began to minister this way, that others came around and they started to argue with him, like, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. And they're giving, I'm sure, some scriptures and trying to share that, you know, this isn't for you and these kind of things. Maybe they were saying this is demonic, you know, like the enemy's still lying about that stuff now. But it says here, it says that this is Acts 6, verse 10, but they were unable to cope, I love that, with his wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Here's a normal guy who, when the Holy Spirit came on the inside of him and was overflowing through him, what began to come out of him were words that the world and the religious could not cope with, the wisdom that was coming out of him. That is another thing that the Holy Spirit does for you and I. He will give you and I words that are beyond our pay grade, that are beyond what we should say or know. He will give us clarity. He will help us. And then this other guy, Philip, says of Philip, you know, he's another normal guy. He certainly became an evangelist, but he's another guy like Stephen. And he began to proclaim Christ. He just began to speak out. He started sharing Jesus, proclaiming Christ, sharing the kingdom, in addition to his tasks, his work. And signs and miracles also took place. Acts 8, verse 7 says, "For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice when they were leaving. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed." This is Philip doing this with the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. The apostles in Jerusalem hear about what's going on with Philip. He's in Samaria at the time. And so they said, "Let's go check this out. Let's go see what's going on with Philip. Let's see what the Holy Spirit's doing down there through him." So they go and visit Peter and John. And they realize that the people were getting delivered. They were getting set free. They were following Jesus, but they themselves had not received this baptism in the Holy Spirit yet. A separate experience, something they were believing, but they hadn't received something yet. So it says that in chapter 8, verse 15, it says that they said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So there's something different there. They were getting delivered, they were getting freed, but they weren't yet carriers or baptized, overflowing with the same Spirit that had just delivered them. And it came through these guys come down and praying for them, laying their hands on them, and they received. See, the apostles realized, and I'm so thankful that they did, that what they experienced at Pentecost wasn't just for them. They realized, they recognized that this experience was to be given away, that the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of all who believe. And so they started to find people to pray for. "Have you received him yet? When you believed, have you received him yet?" So they, if it was no, then they would lay their hands on them and they would pray that they would receive the Holy Spirit. Philip, one of the fun stories in the Bible, continues with his all kind of great things going on. And then he baptizes, remember the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch? He baptizes him. As soon as he comes out of the water, Philip disappears. Pew. He's gone. He gets translated, Star Trek'd, right? Beamed by God. I looked at the map when I was looking at this a few years ago, and it shows the town that he showed up in. It was about 9 miles away. So he just is baptizing one moment, and the next moment, he is in another town looking around going, "How did I get here?" That's another thing that the Holy Spirit can do. I've heard of several stories of that since then with people that God just chooses to do that. You know, God can do anything, right? When you're doing the work of the Spirit, when you are engaged in proclaiming the gospel, when you're engaged in loving people and doing what we're supposed to be doing, who knows what God may want to do or need to do in a moment like he did with Philip. And then about 25 years after Pentecost, in that 25 years, remember Saul, who was standing there when Stephen was stoned to death? Saul was Saul then. Of course, he got converted through dramatic experience. He then has these 14 years of really being discipled in Jesus and getting to know him and begins to minister. And then he goes on his first missionary journey, then his second missionary journey. This is at his third missionary journey, so 25 years after Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is still moving in powerful ways. He's still doing wonderful things, just beginning, still beginning. Let's read together here. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses. It says, "It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples." Now, I'm guessing these are disciples either of John or of Jesus, but people who knew of Jesus, people who followed the Lord. "And Paul said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When you believed in Jesus, when the gospel is presented to you, did you receive the Holy Spirit at the same time? Because that happens. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we did not. We have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We're not sure. We've not been taught about this. We don't understand this. We've heard about Jesus. We believe in him. We've heard about repentance. John the Baptist taught about that. But we don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. So he said, into what then were you baptized? Because remember, John the Baptist said that when Jesus comes, he will baptize in the Holy Spirit as well. And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying, and there were in all about 12 men. So in this case, for these guys, this experience of the Holy Spirit, of them being baptized in the Holy Spirit, as it says, was separate from them believing. Just as it was with Philip when he was preaching, casting demons out, healing, and then the guys came and they were filled with, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Similar here, the same thing happens. I've wondered as I read this, and I ask the Lord questions when I read the Bible. Do you guys do that sometimes? Like, why did that happen, or what's going on here? Or, you know, that's one of the things I do. And so as I read this, I thought, I wonder why Paul asked the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why would he ask that question? Did he ask that question to everyone? I don't know. I doubt it. I have some theories. I have some thoughts. Like, maybe he recognized that these followers of Jesus needed something. Maybe he didn't see, maybe there was a fullness that he didn't sense. Maybe there was, maybe they were speaking from their brains. Maybe they were religious. Maybe he just recognized, oh boy, there's more that you can have. There's more. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Something that Paul saw caused him to ask the question. He wasn't condemning them. He wasn't saying he was better than them. He was saying, do you have everything that God wants you to have? Do you have everything that this Jesus gave to you as you're following him? And if you don't, let's get that taken care of. Let's give you what the Father wants you to have, the fullness of the Spirit. Because there really is a difference. There's a difference in my life. I recognize when I was a teenager, and today as well, I recognize my need for the Holy Spirit. Do you feel that same way? Do you recognize your need for the Holy Spirit? I do. I do for in so many different ways, in so many different areas. I can feel when I'm lacking as well. It's kind of like when I'm driving a car, and it's on empty, and I know in any moment this car is going to die unless it gets more fuel. It needs fuel. It's got to have fuel for it to keep going. I've felt that way in my life many times where it's like, I feel on empty. I need desperately the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit's wisdom. I need his words. I need his ways. I need his peace. I need his power. I need help. In fact, that's, I think, one of the greatest prayers any of us can pray. Help. Help. Because the Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the helper. And we can pray and we can ask, and he is there to help us in any and every situation. He's there. We're never alone. I need him. There's a difference between someone who is, and I, this is, again, just as Paul was saying, did you receive him when you believed? Not that he was being condescending to them. I'm saying the same way. We can be people who follow Jesus externally and do our best on our own strength to do everything right and to make changes in ourselves so that we become better people. Not that any of those things are bad, but it is lacking. It's not full. See, the Holy Spirit is here to help us be what we cannot be on our own. He's here to change what we cannot change on the inside of us. He's here to shed and break the power of addiction. When we just keep falling back into something over and over and over, the Holy Spirit is here to whack that. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to give us wisdom and to comfort us. And so there are people who are good people who are followers of Jesus, just as Paul found here in this moment, dedicating their lives to him, following him 25 years after the resurrection, and they're pursuing him best they can. And then Paul says, yeah, but did you get the Holy Spirit? No, didn't know there was one. Well, then how about we do that now? Because there is. And he's for you and wants to live in you. There's a difference. There's a difference when the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of a person. There's a difference when we've been baptized into him. There's an overflow. I use the example like a bottle of water. You can have a full bottle of water and hold that, and you are containing the water. And that's good to contain the water. But if you squeeze that bottle, the water goes all over the place. If you drink the bottle, it comes out and fills a person. The Holy Spirit is a little bit like that in the sense that we can be when we are saved, when you are born again, his Spirit changes us, helps us, cleanses us. But there is a baptism which is an overflowing. It's a changing. It's him coming out of us and using us in ways that's different than us just knowing about him or just carrying him. There's an overflow. There's, as Joel prophesied, there are dreams that start to take place. There are visions that start to happen. Anything may happen after a baptism of the Holy Spirit, because we are then those that God has chosen to fill, to draw, to fill, to use, to do his will in the earth. And I can't do it in Matt's strength. I can't do it on my own. I am not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, any person can do anything. There's a difference. Part of that difference from the scriptures, and we see what happens with these guys here, is they begin to speak in tongues. I know there's a lot of doctrines related to tongues. One of them being that it's the indicator that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't see it that way. As you look at history, you see a lot of people, I believe, who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they didn't speak in tongues. Because God doesn't violate our will, for one. If you don't want to do something, you don't have to do that. But I believe the tongues are available for everyone. Tongues are the special language that the devil doesn't understand between you and God. And it says in Jude, as you pray in tongues, your spirit is getting built up on its most holy faith. There's something of a building up in your spirit as you pray in the spirit. In this language, the devil doesn't understand, and you may not either half the time. Right? But it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. I remember the first time I was in the country of Turkey. I flew into Istanbul, and I was hearing the locals speak, and I thought, that sounds like my prayer language. And I almost stepped out in my prayer language to see if they knew what I was saying, but I didn't. And my prayer language has changed, the spirit language. Paul said, listen, I pray in this is more than you all. He said, I want everybody to have this. Now, prophesying is better, he said, because people understand what you're saying and it edifies and builds them up. But man, he says, I'm praying in the Spirit whenever I get a chance. That's my translation. He's praying in the Spirit. He's building himself up on his most holy faith. When he doesn't know what to pray, he's praying in the Spirit. That's what I do. When you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you in a language that you may not understand, but God does, and he's engaged in this prayer experience, in this request. My friend Graham Powell, I don't know if you remember Graham, he's been to our church a few times years ago. He travels the world, and as he's doing deliverance, he has a deliverance ministry. As he's praying for people for deliverance, he's praying in the Spirit most of the time. And he says, nearly every country that I go to, when I'm done, they say to me, I didn't know you knew our language. And he says, I don't. I was just praying the Spirit. He said, well, what was I saying? And he said, they always say the same thing. He said, you were praising God and blessing his name wherever he goes. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're blessing God in some way, and though you may not even understand how you're doing it. There is this beautiful thing related to tongues. Of course, the devil doesn't want you doing that. There is no way he wants you praying in the Spirit. So he's going to say, that is weird, that's wacky, that's demonic, stay away. The very thing that came at Pentecost with this beautiful prayer in the Spirit. You ever heard, and we've done it in here sometimes, a whole congregation, hundreds of people singing in the Spirit? It's like a heaven. It is beautiful. That's because it is like heaven. That's what they're doing there. Several different languages, praising God. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. It's not to be fearful of. Like the enemy, man, it just makes me angry. The lies the enemy gets out there about God, about his Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit, tongues just being one of them. And you don't have to speak in tongues if you don't want to. You get to. You get to. And it's to build up the body, to build up yourself. Prophesying is another one of those. You know what prophecy is all about? Encouraging, building up, edifying, comforting. That's a great thing. That's part of what comes with the Holy Spirit. That baptism in him, all of a sudden, you're seeing things, you're receiving things for other people to edify and build them up. It's not to be eerie and weird. It's to be wonderful and encouraging. My life has been encouraged, and this is a whole other thing that I could talk about today. My life has been riddled with God using prophecy to help lead and guide me and to encourage me. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't be married without it. This church would not have started without it. I wouldn't be here. Prophecy is incredible. It's part of this Holy Spirit that he's given to us. Jesus said, you know, the wind blows where it wishes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. You don't know what's going to happen next. John 3:8. The Holy Spirit, he is God. And he wants to baptize all of the followers of Jesus and fill them with himself so that he can do the works of Jesus in us. That's what Jesus prophesied. That we would do his works. We continue those. Not we'd look back and go, oh, that was great things that Jesus did. That's so wonderful. What a wonderful time that must have been. I wish I could have just seen it. Bless God. Jesus said, truly, truly, I'm telling you. He said it twice. Truly, truly, what I'm doing, you will do. And greater than what you've seen me do, you will do. Why? He said, I'm going to the Father. When I get there, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And you will then continue with his power in you to do what I've been doing all along. And even greater. That was what Jesus said. We were singing about the promises of God today. Well, this is one of them. In fact, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus. And again, I hate that the enemy has just skewed things and made things weird.
Are you one of those tongue-talking, swing-from-the-chandelier people?
So the enemy tries to paint this as that you're swinging from a chandelier, being weird, rather than filled with joy and hope and power and love and life and overflowing works of Jesus all around us. When that is exactly what the Holy Spirit came to do, to comfort us. There are so many people through history. We could talk about many. Jonathan Goforth, here's one. Mods headed for China. Jonathan Goforth, what a great last name, Goforth. He was born, he didn't have a choice. That guy's gonna do some stuff there when your last name is Goforth. He goes to China, he sees this great need, but he doesn't speak Chinese. He wakes up in the morning and he speaks fluent language with understanding. He's a missionary, you can read about him, incredible guy. Samuel Morris, who I've talked about last year, named Kabu, pursuing the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, not just the first century apostles. Azusa Street Revival, you can read about that, pretty amazing. Led by Mr. Seymour, African-American guy. You got men and women and black and white, the Holy Spirit filling whoever wants him. Baptizing whoever wants to be filled with him to do great things. For me personally, mine was a bit of a struggle in this area. I grew up in a Christian home, loved Jesus. I was like one of those guys that Paul found. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? I said, no. But I wanted him. So I would ask, and I was expecting to have an experience like other people I knew had. And I didn't have that. So it was frustrating for me, and I wasn't sure that I wasn't sure. It's like, now I get upset with the Lord. Why isn't this happening? I want this. And one day, you know how the Lord speaks? He speaks on the inside, and he said to me inwardly, he said, the just live by faith. Would you believe that I want to give you myself as much as you want to have me? And would you receive me? And so it was a faith thing for me. Whereas a friend of mine, a person who walked close to them, said, you're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. She didn't even want him. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and her life was radically changed. She thought she didn't want him. She really did. But my experience wasn't that experience. Mine was by faith, believing I received him, and all of a sudden, over time, those two together, things started to emerge in my life, and this language started to take place, and I started to have dreams I wasn't having before. And here's what, one of the biggest changes inside of me that the Holy Spirit did, was he changed me from a selfish person to a giving person. I think it's part of the fruit of his Spirit living on the inside of us, along with the other, there are nine of them, nine fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? All of those. But he came to me in a way that I had to believe that I received something that I wasn't feeling. And when I believed it, so everything changed. Let me read you a quick scripture here. This is Luke 11. Jesus is talking to people, and he says, I'll just read this. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. This is Jesus. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Of course not. It's rhetorical. Of course he won't. Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion. Again, rhetorical. If you then, this is Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, we are sometimes, Know how to give good gifts to your own children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we know how to give good gifts to our own kids, how much more does the Father, who's been waiting for thousands of years to give us Holy Spirit, will give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks him? Now, he may be felt in different ways. He may be received in different ways. You might feel a complete change. You might feel goosebumps and heat going from top to bottom. And you may feel nothing. But suddenly, your heart begins to change. There's things that begin to happen in your life that are different. Ways that you're speaking, addictions you used to have, confidence that you lacked, things begin to change. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He's the comforter. He's the deliverer. He changes us on the inside to be what we cannot on our own. He reveals truth to us. He convicts us of sin. So we can repent. He gives us power to overcome sin. He leads and he guides us into the will of the Father. He gives us power to be a witness of him. If we find that we're lacking in any of those, we can ask him, would you give that to me? I desire that. I want to have power to be a witness of you. I want to witness you strongly. The Holy Spirit helps us. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he changes caterpillars to butterflies. He can change who we are in this moment to who he'd like us to be and fly in the Spirit and be led by him. Maybe we've been a certain way our whole life. That can change today because it's this Holy Spirit that does it. He's the one that changes us. He has great gifts to give us. Find those in 1 Corinthians 12. There's fruit that comes through our lives as he's on the inside changing us. Part of this is going to be for everyone a little bit different. Some of us believe this full on. Some are like, I'm not so sure. I've seen weird stuff in charismatic churches. And some are like, I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit, right? That's what these guys were saying. So the Lord knows where we are, and he also knows what he wants us to have. And he works with our faith, and he works with our desire, but he always wants to fill us and baptize us with himself. And since we're unique, our experience will be unique, which is a great thing. You know, God is unlimited in power, but he's limited by our permission. You realize that? He can do anything at any time. But he has chosen to limit himself based on our will and what we desire and what we want, what we give permission to. If we give permission to the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants with us, there's nothing that he cannot do with us and in us and through us. But he waits for our permission. Isn't that interesting? If I were God, I wouldn't do it that way. I'm so glad I'm not. And so are you. We're going to pray for people up here today if you'd like to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like someone to lay hands on you like these apostles in the scripture just laid hands and said, receive. Freely, he's been given to me. Freely, he can be given to you. For others, you've already had this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and maybe you need a refreshing. Ephesians 5 talks about that. As often as you can get drunk with wine, you can get refilled with the Holy Spirit. It says of Stephen that he was full of the Holy Spirit. He had a lot of him. He received him. We can, and I can, receive a new infilling, a refreshing of him. Sometimes I sneak away to a private room or a bathroom stall and say, fill me again, Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. I know you're with me, but I need a tank to get filled up. We can do that. There are some who are watching, since this is broadcast around the world, who don't have anyone to pray with them today. You can just lay your hand on yourself if you want to. You can just ask, and he will give you. Jesus said it. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. He will fill. He will overflow. He will baptize. It's the Father's desire. So how about we do this? If we're going to have our ministry teams could come up, our prayer teams, they're just going to be available. So, and again, this isn't about being weird. It's about being filled with all that God has for you. And if you would like someone to pray with you, lay hands on you, and just to receive his baptism, you want that experience, you want that power, you want what Jesus promised, you can receive him. It's going to be simple. No one's going to make you do anything. We're going to have that. For everyone else, if you'd like to just get a refilling, let's just take a few moments. Oh, we close our eyes. Those who would like to receive prayer, just walk on up. Just come on up if you want someone to pray for you, with you. It's like you felt this, man, I want this. I recognize I need more. The Holy Spirit is the more. The Holy Spirit is the more that every person in the world is looking for. The Holy Spirit is what we need. The Holy Spirit is what changes our lives, who turns us, changes us, metamorphoses us to be these sons and daughters that look like Jesus, that behave like Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And for those out here, you already have had this baptism of him. Maybe you need a refilling. If you could just maybe look up. You don't have to do this, but you can open your mouth. It speaks of your spirit opening up. You just receive a brand new, fresh filling, a fresh impartation. The person that Jesus sent, the Spirit of God, to the earth to baptize, to give power to fill with joy. And with him comes love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control comes with him. And words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. If you want to speak in a tongue, maybe you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you've had trouble speaking with your prayer language. He wants to help you with that. He wants to give you that secret language that the enemy does not understand, where you're speaking the proclamations of the goodness of God in the heavenlies and in this realm. So Lord, I ask that you'd give us those languages right now. I ask that you'd fill us and give us a new language if you'd like. We want our tongues to be your words and your syllables. May you pray through us in ways that we don't know how to pray. May you say through us things that we don't know how to say. Fill us to overflowing right now. I just speak the move of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have freedom in here to fill us, to refresh us, to overflow us, to empower us. Lord, I ask for those who need confidence to have confidence today in Jesus' name. Those who need boldness, that your boldness would empower them, that you would give them boldness like they've never had before. You said, Lord, your righteous are as bold as a lion. Lord, give us that lion level of boldness. Give us courage where we need courage. Lord, those in here who need wisdom, Holy Spirit, you give wisdom. So we ask and we receive your wisdom right now. Wisdom for a job situation, a work situation. We don't know what to do. We receive your wisdom right now for the decision that needs to be made. We receive words of knowledge that you have for us. relationally, occupationally, in our homes. Lord, we receive dreams. I ask you to open up dreams right now. The Lord, I felt like he spoke to me this morning that there are those who haven't dreamed in a long time. And part of what Joel prophesied is the Holy Spirit will be poured out. He'll be poured out, similar to like water being poured out. And dreams will take place. Visions will happen. So I ask you now, Lord, to break the dam, as it were, of dreams, that dreams would flow in Jesus' name, that people would have dreams that would be stories and the supernatural and what you want to do and a revelation of yourself and of your love, things of the future. Let dreams take place for everyone who wants them. Just receive them. Let visions happen right now. Let our spiritual sensories and senses be opened up to see visions of what you want to do. Lord, we ask for your visions. Lord, we ask for healing through our hands. We want to see miracles, many more miracles. We want to see your miracles take place, the ones that you have planned and desire to happen through those who have been bound by the enemy, that your miracles would set them free, that healings would take place, even today, even in this place. That every form of cancer would be kicked out, that every form of arthritis would be thrown away, that every form of disease and sickness would be pushed away, gone, dispelled, displaced by your Spirit. Lord, let hunger, Holy Spirit, you give hunger. You help not only fill us, but you cause greater hunger on the inside for God. And I ask, Lord, that you would crank up the hunger on the inside of our spirits for more of you. For more of you. That we would not be satisfied with what we've seen or where we are. But we would desire more of you. More of your Spirit. More of your power. More of your joy. Change us, Lord. Change us to look like Jesus. To behave like Jesus. To be filled with the hope of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill to overflowing. Fill to overflowing. Some of you may be receiving words of encouragement for other people in this room. Feel free to share it with them. Maybe you saw a vision. Write it down. And again, Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, which means there's hunger, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. How much more does my Father want to give you the Holy Spirit than you even want him? He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. It's his desires, his plan. It's one of the things he came to do. So we receive you, Holy Spirit, every one of us in here. We receive you. We receive you. We open up. Fill us, Lord, to overflowing. Fill us, Lord, to overflowing. May we be your light in the nations. May we be your light in the city and the light in your home. The Lord's removing anger out of someone, someone who's been bound by anger. Jesus delivers you. The Spirit of God takes anger and throws it away and gives you a spirit of peace, of self-control. You can sing to him in the Spirit. You can sing to him in the Spirit. You can sing the desires of heaven. You can sing the desires of heaven in the Spirit. You're singing the opposite of what the enemy plans. You're singing the purposes of God. You're singing the hope that does not disappoint. Mm-hmm. all stand for a moment, just sing in the Spirit. You can whisper your song. You can sing out loud. Let's just sing in the Spirit. Let's surround, fill the atmosphere with what you want to do, Jesus. While we're standing, if you wouldn't mind laying the hand on the shoulder of the person next to you or behind you or in front of you, and let's just continue with that spiritual prayer over their lives. You can pray in tongues over their lives. Sometimes you need an interpretation. You don't need one right now. This isn't one message for the whole body. This is God praying through you over this person. Just pray the purposes of God. You can be thinking about heaven and great things for this person. You can pray his purposes through your spiritual language or in English, however you want to. Let's just bless them. Bless them. Ask God to do wonderful things, the kind of things you'd love to see for yourself. Pray his power. Pray his joy. Pray his deliverance. Pray his peace. Pray his wonders. His wonders over the person. Pray for answers to problems, situations. Pray for freedom from anxiety. Yes. Let's sing this together, and then you're free to go afterwards.